Please turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And we've been looking at a series, Timing is Everything. And this is the fourth message in that series, Timing is Everything. And I'd like you to look with me at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 12. We've been looking at this verse. And very important verse. It says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Now look back at verse 11. It says there, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, here, Daniel has been taught by the Lord Jesus, and there's a couple angels accompanying him. He's been taught by the Lord. He's been told what's going to happen in the end time, and specifically, it's the time from the middle of the last 7 years until the end of that period of time. He's being told what's going to happen in that period of time. And according to the Bible, I'll ask one of the guys this, from the middle of the 7 years to the end of the 7 years, using the Jewish calendar, how many days is that? I know one of you got it last week, and I know who that was, but anybody else know that? How many days is that? Raise your hand if you know, and you're a guy. Brother Greg.
1,290 days.
I was afraid you'd say that. All right. You want to amend that? That's exactly right. 1,000, look at verse 11, 1,290 days it says there, but that is not half of the 7 years. That's an extra 30 days, right? And that's what I was going to get to next. So over in Revelation, it talks about 1,260 days. And the Bible is very clear. It's 1,260 days till the end of the 7 years. And that's very important because that's when the Lord himself, according to Revelation chapter 10 and other places, the Lord himself is going to appear on the earth, 1 foot on the earth and 1 foot on the sea. And he's going to be here and he's coming back to do what to the earth? Reclaim the earth. Reclaim the earth. Now, here we have a period of time of 1,290 days. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Now, why is it that it's 1,290 days rather than 1,260 days? Why is that? What is that all about? What's that in there for? Brother Bob?
Well, there's still active judgment going on until 30 days afterwards, and it'll culminate in the Battle of Armageddon, which happens 29 days after 7 years.
All right, very important. You see, at the end of the 70th week, the last 7 years, God says that then he will be able to remove the blindness from the Jewish people and they will be saved as a nation. And that's why it has to be that amount of time from the time of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9 until that period of time. He's talking about 490 years. And the last 7 years, once that's accomplished, then the Lord can open the eyes of the Jewish people and they can be saved. And so timing is everything. And God has a purpose for everything in our lives. He has a certain time and a purpose for everything that happens in our lives. And so on day one of the 30 days, there's an extra 30 days, the Lord shows up on the earth, and right when the Lord shows up on the earth, the beast kills the two witnesses. And the two witnesses have been preaching for 1,260 days or 3.5 years. They start in the middle of the 7 years. And if you have a television and you can see it on TV, if your TV is up and running, I believe you'd be able to see those witnesses preaching on CNN or on Fox News. You will be able to see those witnesses preaching in Jerusalem. Does anybody know who they will be? Or certainly who one of them will be? Brian Aber? Yes, one will be Moses and one will be Elijah. By the way, Moses and Elijah were with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were emblematic of the two witnesses that will be here in the last days, in the last half of the 7 years. And I believe that you would be able to see Elijah preach and Moses preach during that period of time. And so that's going to happen. But after the end of 3.5 years, the beast is going to see that they're killed. He's not able to kill them before that. By the way, timing is everything. You cannot die before it's your time. What should that tell you? You should be brave and not be fearful. Because the only reason you die is it's your time to die. And God has the date of your birth and the date of your death. You know, Stonewall Jackson, have you ever heard of him in the Civil War? He was a Christian. He was a general. He was a godly man. And he was called Stonewall Jackson because when the battle was going on, the Battle of Antietam, he just sat there like a stone wall right on his horse. And they asked him, why weren't you afraid? He said, because, he said, when I'm going to die, that will be the Lord's time for me to die, and I won't be able to stop it. He said, I'm just as safe in the middle of battle as I would be in my home relaxing. He said, because God is in control. And that's what Daniel teaches us, you see, that timing is everything, that God has a purpose and a time for everything. And if we know that, we can be encouraged. So on day one, the Lord comes back after the 7 years. He comes back on day one. The two witnesses are killed. He goes into a place and he comes back to Jordan. He comes back to a town in Jordan called Basra, and he finds the 144,000 that have been hidden there, and he takes them on a 2-day hike to Jerusalem. It takes 2 days to get there. Now, while he's going there, he goes to the wilderness of Judea. On the third day, he arrives just outside of Jerusalem in the wilderness of Judea, and he finds there Jewish people that have been hiding in the wilderness of Judea. He finds also Jewish people streaming in from Egypt and from Iraq area. God makes a highway for them, and they're headed back to Jerusalem. They know something is happening. And they're headed back, and they all join the 144,000 that are following the Lord. And that is the third day. And on that third day, those people that meet the Lord and the city of Jerusalem, the people that are living there that haven't taken the mark of the beast, what is going to happen to all those people according to Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? Job?
They're all going to be taken up into heaven.
Not right then. No, they're not. Timing is everything. They're never going to go to heaven. They're going to stay on earth. They're going to stay on earth. They're not going to heaven. We're going to heaven in the rapture. But these are the Israelites, and God has a plan for everybody, and he has a plan for his chosen people, the Jews. And on the third day, something happens to them. Not the 144,000. That's already happened to them on the first day, I believe. But the rest of them. What will happen, Brother Bob?
What Ezekiel talked about, those bones will be given life.
They'll be given life.
God will enter into them, and their eyes will be opened. They'll accept Christ.
That's exactly right. Boy, you know, when you give the gospel, from our side, we don't have it all planned, but God does. And he knows the day and the hour that we're going to get saved. And he has it planned, and he knows what it's going to take to get us to himself. He knows the soul winner to bring. He knows the circumstances to bring in a person's life. That excites me. I'm not soul winning on my own. There's a sovereign God who is going before me to prepare the way and prepare the hearts. It's not just a sales pitch I'm giving somebody. No, I'm involved in a divine work. And if you're here tonight, you may be here tonight, and you've never been saved, and God is tugging at your heart that you need to accept the Lord and not go under the judgment of God. And God's prepared you to hear the message so that you can believe on the Lord and be saved. And you need to do that, because going to Christian school won't save you. Going to a church won't save you. You have to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And God is going to bring this all together so that after 3.5 years of going through Jacob's trouble, after going through the day of the Lord's judgment, after having the pressure of the Jewish Antichrist and the beast trying to make him take the mark, how many, what percentage or what fraction of the nation of Israel will survive and all get saved on one day? Cameron? Huh? Very good, Cameron. You are doing great. One third will be saved. Now, right now in Israel, I think there's about 8 million Jews. It's approximate, about 8 million Jews. one-third of however many will survive and be saved. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God can save a lot of people all at once. Do you believe that? Day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved, baptized, and went. You believe that can happen in our church on a big day? You say if we plan and we prepare and we work hard enough, it can be done. Well, we should plan and prepare and work hard enough. But I'm talking about a divine intervention. I don't see them on the day of Pentecost having planned and prepared for a big day. And I'm not against that. I'm for big days. I'm for, but you know, some churches, they say, we have a Pentecost Sunday. We plan and prepare. This is Pentecost. No, it's not. Pentecost Sunday, they were praying for 10 days. They didn't plan and prepare. God, the Holy Spirit came. He saved those people, man. So I wouldn't call it a Pentecost Sunday. It's a work time, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God likes to surprise us. That keeps the romance in marriage. I'm going to pick my wife up at the airport. I got to think of something to surprise her. You know, something she didn't expect. Something nice that she would like. Doesn't that keep the romance alive? And the Lord surprises us with blessings in our life. Why? Because He loves us. And He wants to do good things for us. And listen, I believe He can do something in this city above what you can ask or think. He can save people and work in their lives. And that's all going to happen all at once on day 3 of this 30-day period. This is all in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, in seed form. And it's amplified in Revelation. But all this is happening, listen to me, during those 30 days. Day 1, the Lord touches down on earth. Day 1 and 2, He travels with 144,000 toward Jerusalem. Day 3. All these Jewish remnant people come together and accept the Lord and are saved. And then I want you to notice what happens on day 4. On day 4, something happens. And that is, remember, the Bible says that the two preachers were killed on day 1. And they've been laying there for 3.5 days. Now, when they're laying there, do you know that people are going to watch them on TV? And by the way, that was predicted way back 2,000 years ago that we were going to have cable TV. That we would have satellites. Because it says the whole world's going to watch them. And they're going to be so happy these preachers are not preaching to them anymore. They're going to give gifts to one another. They're so glad they don't have to listen to these preachers. Because they hate what they say because they keep convicting them of their sin. You know, there's two things you can do when you hear the preaching of the Word. You can either get away from it and run away from it, or you can let it pierce your heart and get right with God, and then you get the blessing. But these people don't do that. They just keep hardening their hearts, and they give gifts to one another because they think they've won. They think because the beast was able to kill them, wow, we're going to win. Can I tell you something tonight? When you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's going to win. Stay with Him. Don't go with your flesh. Don't go with the world's crowd. God is going to win.
Amen.
If you're playing games with God tonight, God's not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. Get right with God and humble yourself because God's going to win. And on day 4... the Lord marches up with His saved remnant into Jerusalem. And what does He do? He raises from the dead right in front of all those people watching. It'll be breaking news on CNN, and they're not going to like it. Breaking news that the two witnesses raised up from the dead, and they'll watch them ascend up into heaven before their eyes. This is not science fiction. This is real. It's going to happen. And so when that happens, that's all on day number 4 of this 30-day period. And then the Lord takes the 144,000 and He ascends with them on day number 5. The next day, He ascends with them where? Where does He go to? According to Revelation chapter 14. He walks on top of some place. What is it, Brother Greg? Well, he is going to go on the Mount of Olives. That's exactly right. And the Bible says the Mount of Olives is going to split in half. And that's going to happen next. But in day number 5, the first thing he does is he walks up on what mount? Joe?
The Holy Mount.
Yeah, what's it called? Mount Zion, right? He's on top of Mount Zion with 144,000, and he does that. And then the Bible does say that something happens there. Just put your finger here and turn to Revelation 11 real quick. Revelation 11. Because I want you to see what happens when he gets on top of that Mount Zion there in Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 15, and this is on day 5 or day 6 at this point. Revelation 11:15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now, listen. When he gets on top of Mount Zion in day 5 or day 6 of the reclamation 30-day period, what is going to sound? What is that in verse 15 that's going to sound? Does anybody know? Something is going to sound. What is that that's going to sound when they're on top of Mount Zion? That is the seventh trumpet of the trumpet judgments. And when that seventh trumpet sounds, there are seven bowl judgments left. And that they will happen between day 5 or day 6 and day 30 of the 30-day reclamation period. The Lord is going to have that sounded. Now, I want you to notice what he says there when that sounds. Look what it says. It says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And what he's saying there is, I am now going to take over the world. I'm going to kick out the Antichrist. I'm going to kick out the beast. And I am going to kick out all of those that have taken the mark of the beast. I'm going to get rid of them from the earth. I am going to finish it up. And it's going to take from day 5 or day 6 of this 30-day period in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, until the end of the 30 days. And so the bowl judgments are going to be poured out. Now, Greg mentioned it. He's going to go on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives are going to split in half. And the Lord is going to judge the earth terribly, very swiftly, and kick out and destroy all those that took the mark. So he's got to protect his people. And so the Bible says, I want you to see this, go up to Zechariah chapter 14, and that's back in the Old Testament now, after Daniel, Zechariah chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse number 5 of Zechariah 14, and there it says, first look at verse 4, because this is what Brother Greg talked about, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives," that's day 5 or 6, "upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee." Who's going to flee? Raise your hand if you know, one of the guys. Who's going to flee, Brother Bob? The remnant, the one-third that were saved, "and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel." That's a place they're going to run to. "Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints or angels with thee." Now listen. God is going to protect that remnant on day 5 or day 6. And they're gonna hide inside of Azel, and he's gonna close it up and hide them away, and they're gonna be hidden and taken care of. Now, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with planning and preparing to be protected, but I want to tell you, God is able to protect his people supernaturally. I believe during the tribulation that if it's God's will to protect the people, he will see that they're protected. Supernaturally, he will make a way for it, or he'll provide the way for it to happen, or for you to plan and prepare for it to happen. But I'm saying to you, God is the one that takes care of his people, and the safest place that we can be is in the will of the Lord, because the Lord loves his people. Now listen, I want to ask you a question tonight. This is day 5 or day 6 of the 30 days. Here the Lord has hidden his people away. The Bible says somewhere in there between that time and the end of the 30 days, he goes back up into heaven. Now I want to ask you a question. When does the judgment seat of Christ take place? The judgment seat of Christ is when we stand before the Lord. And by the way, if you're a born-again Christian, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll have to give an account for how you invested your time and your talents and your treasures since you got saved. You'll have to give an account to the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. When is that going to take place? Does anybody know? Brother Bob.
Earthly speaking, anyways, because we don't don't know how time will be up in heaven city. But earthly speaking, that will take place while the bowl judgments are being poured out, but before we come back to the Babylon.
Very good. So in Daniel 12:11, we have this extra 30 days. Remember, 1290 days. During that 30 days, all these things are happening that we're talking about. And day 5, or day 6, the Lord hides his people at Azel, and then he goes back up into heaven after that. And between, somewhere between day 5 and 6 and day 30 is going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And we stand before the Lord in heaven and give an account for how we've lived our life. Can you imagine that day? We need to prepare ourselves for that day that's going to come. And by the way, I want to show you this in the Bible. Turn to Revelation 11. I want to show you this in Revelation 11. And yes, Revelation 11 and verse number 8. Very good, Brother Bob. Revelation 11, 8. Yes, it is 18. I can't read my own writing. I've got it down here. Revelation 11, verse 18, it says, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Now, if you look at the context of Revelation, this is going to be, listen to me, this is going to be at the end of the 7 years. This is going to be during the 30 days. This is going to be while the bowl judgments are being poured out. You can read it right in Revelation. When do people say that believe in a pre-trib rapture, when do they say the judgment seat of Christ takes place? Brother Bob?
In heaven at the rapture before the 7 years begins.
Exactly. It does not fit. And if it does not fit, it doesn't go with the Bible. And so don't plan on that. This is when the judgment seat of Christ is going to happen. And by the way, after the judgment seat of Christ, if you look at Revelation, there's going to be a wedding. After the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a wedding, and that wedding is going to be between us and the Lord. And when I say us, everybody that's been saved from the time of Adam on up until the rapture, everybody is going to be gathered together that is saved, and we are going to have a marriage between us and the Lord, and then we're going on our honeymoon. And you know where the honeymoon's going to be? Back in an earth that's been changed and renovated and renewed by the Lord and made beautiful by the Lord. And we're going to talk about that. That's the restoration period. But this is the reclamation period. And so after that wedding, the Lord puts us away in the city called the New Jerusalem, which is going to come down at the beginning of the millennium. A beautiful city. But the Lord takes his angels and he gets ready to go to war. And that war is called the Battle of what? The Battle of what?
Armageddon.
And what day is that battle on? Hey, Cameron? The very end of the 30-day period. And I want you to go to Revelation chapter 19. And I want you to see that. The very last day of the 30 days. Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Here's what it says. It said, "And I saw heaven opened." This is after the judgment seat of Christ. This is after the marriage now in heaven. And we're the bride is there safely in the protected custody of the city. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew." And it says, "And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." I believe that's angels, the armies of angels. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." By the way, I want to show you that in 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, the same context. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. I want to show you that. It says there, "And to you who are troubled," that's talking about going through the tribulations of life, Do you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the day of the Lord will be angelic judgments, but it will culminate in the Lord coming back on the day, Battle of Armageddon, with his angels to this earth to finally devastate and cleanse the earth with terrible, fiery judgments that he is going to pour out on this earth. By the way, let me just say something. God often uses fire as his means of judgment. And during the day of the Lord, it's going to be direct judgments. But I want to say something to you. I believe the United States of America, we're going to have some kind of fiery judgment because of what we've done and what we are doing in this country. And I want to encourage you. I'm reading a novel by Joel Rosenberg. It's fictional account, but it's based on God's Word, and it's called Dead Heat. Dead Heat. I want to encourage you to read that. It's very, very sobering when it comes to the United States of America. As we're watching these elections and we're watching what's happening, listen to me, God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't judge America. Do you know God is going to judge the whole country of Jordan? And the Bible says even during the millennium, even after God cleanses the earth, that is going to be left there as a smoldering testament to him being a holy God, as Babylon is going to be also a smoldering heap of ruins. Now, I would hope and pray the United States judgment is not complete, but that God saves a remnant and we escape that and come through that time. But I'm going to tell you, I have to say, as a man of God, based on study of the prophets, I believe it's totally in keeping with God's character to let a judgment come on America, like what Joel Rosenberg talks about in Dead Heat. And I'm just saying to you, the safest place we can be is in the center of God's will. You see here how the Lord takes care of his lambs, how he protected them in Azel, and how he thinks about his people and protects his people. And so it's so important that we stay right close to the Lord during these days, because we're living in the last days, I believe. I don't want to set a date. I don't know when the last 7 years is going to start, but I believe we're getting very, very close to that time period. And that's why you kids are learning so much about prophecy, because God even told Daniel, you won't understand all that you're writing about here. In the day that these things begin to happen, the people will understand things that you don't understand about your own prophecy. And because we have the book of Revelation and other writings, and we have the Holy Spirit helping us, we're able to understand these things. But the question is, what are you going to do with your life? And I'm going to end right here. Are you going to be ready when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Are you going to invest in eternity? Some of you are doing that. Thank God. Keep it up. Don't let any worldly person talk you out of it. Don't let somebody talk you out of it that's skipping church and skipping out on soul winning and skipping out on God's word. Invest, and stay with it. And get around those that will encourage you to do it even more and more. That's why I like to go around soul winners. That's why I like to go out to youth conferences and conferences where I know they're doing a job for God, because I know that these people are examples. And they're telling you to invest your life in eternity. You're going to get rewards for that. But let me just say this. If perchance somebody here is not truly saved, you haven't put your trust in the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away and accepted him into your heart, then when you die, you're not going to the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to the lake of fire. You're going to hell, and then later to the judgment of God, and then to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Don't let that happen to you. Get saved today, and then serve the Lord with your life, because he says that you're on the winning side. All right, let's bow together for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about timing is everything, and we finished the part about the 30-day period in Daniel 12:11, when all these things are going to happen and God is going to be right on schedule. Since God is right on schedule, it's so important, listen to me, it's so important that we stay close to the Lord, because we're not going to miss anything if we stay close to him. You're not going to miss anything he has for you in his will. He knows who he wants you to marry. He knows when you're going to be born again. He knows when you're going to do this and do that. He knows when you're going to die. He knows when Jesus is coming back. He knows when the 70th week is going to begin. What's the best thing we can do is stay close to Him. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Did you read your Bible today? Have you prayed today? Have you walked with God today? Are you in fellowship with God? Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Did you come into this church tonight filled with the Spirit? That is walking in fellowship with God. If very honestly you can say, Pastor, you caught me. You caught me by surprise. No, I had something in my life that came between me and the Lord, and I didn't come in here filled with the Spirit. But I realized timing is everything, that I need to stay close to God, and I need to stay close to God, closer than I have been walking with Him this week. I need to get back in that close fellowship because I want to have those great rewards that come with walking close to the Lord. I wonder tonight if you say, that's a need in my life. I haven't been walking like I should. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand tonight? Just be honest. Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for that. You may put them down. Now listen to me tonight. It's very important that you plan your whole life with spiritual goals. We're going to have a plan for the new year, and we're going to have a calendar given out this Sunday. I want you to look over that church calendar and you decide, I'm going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. I'm going to be in a soul winning ministry. Some of you made a decision Sunday to do that. Follow through on it. Don't let the devil pull you away and rip you off from taking away your reward. We've had kids that have gone to Revival Baptist Christian School and backslid and gotten away, and if they are saved, they're gonna be saved so as by fire. Don't let that happen to you. I want to ask one more question tonight. Who will say tonight, I have been walking with God, preacher, and I want to persevere to the end. I want to persevere, and I want to do more of it. All the more as I see the day approaching. I've been walking with God. I've been faithful. But pray for me that I would somehow this year take it up to another level and go closer to the Lord. That's my desire and prayer. Would you raise your right hand tonight? Everyone that wants that, amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. All right, let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, we do thank You that You know the end from the beginning and You know everything in between. Lord, we thank You. We have a Savior that loves us, and He knows right where to find us, and He knows how to take care of us. And so, Father, I pray that we'd walk close to Him and that we'd walk by faith, not by our own understanding and not by what the world's counsel is. But, Lord, we listen to You. Father, we see our nation, even as the elections are coming up. And, Lord, we realize that there's got to be a judgment on our nation. And, Lord, we just pray that You would help us to stay close to You and that You'd protect us and help us, Lord, to help others during these times. Help us by our testimony to be a help. I pray this for this church, Father, and that we would be found in Your will right up until Jesus comes back. We know, Lord, You promised You'd be with us to give us what we need to do that. So help us, Lord, to simply stay close to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.